We're gonna watch the Super Bowl, or at least parts of it. There's going to be parts of the Super Bowl that some of the commercials that are going to be in there that we're not going to agree with. And it's going to be upon Scripture that we look at. And my sermon's not about that, but I just wanted to mention that we are in this world, but we do not have to be of this world. So, as we continue to fellowship today in God's Word, and in his meal and fellowship downstairs, let us always walk in obedience to him. Let me pray. Father in heaven, as we come before you today, Lord, I just lift up your word today. I pray your Holy Spirit speaks through me. Allow each and every one of us to hear what we need to hear, dear Lord, for us to grow a closer relationship with you. Father, I just thank you for being here with us, and I just pray that we allow you to walk with us throughout the rest of the week. All this I pray in your son's name. Amen. We're going to be in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12 today. So if you want to turn your Bibles to James, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, we're going to be there. Now, James speaks to two different people. He speaks to the rich, and he speaks of the poor. And what we're going to look at today, a little bit of just what does he mean? So if you join with me, beginning in verse 9. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls, and its beauty is destroyed in the same way. The rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. One day there was a wealthy man, and he decided to teach his son a lesson. He took his son on a trip to the country so he could see how poor country folk lived. They stayed one night, they stayed one day on a farm, a humble farm. When they were going back home, the father said, "Did you notice how poor they were, son?" "Yeah." "Well, what did you learn from the trip?" "Well, Dad, we have one dog in the house. They had four." "Well, Dad, you know, we had expensive lamps along our garden, and they had all the stars of the sky. We had a fountain put into our garden, and they had a river that ran all the way to the horizon." At the end, the son replied to his father, whose father was speechless at the time, and said, "Dad, thanks for showing me just how poor we really are." How poor, and I think every one of us would say we weren't poor when we were growing up, because we didn't know that we didn't have what we didn't have. I mean, how many of you had AC in your house? How many of you had satellite, 140 channels? We had three, right? And what about a remote? The remote was us kids for my dad. And my dad kept saying, "Hey, you're making a better door than a window there, boy. Move aside." Especially on Sundays for sports. One gentleman said that he was so poor that they couldn't afford remote control for their TV. And you just thought that, what a poor, poor boy that must have been. How many of us, if we go back to where we were born, in the house that we first started to grow up in, Is that house still there? Most of us, we were raised in somewhat of humble circumstances as far as the world would be concerned. But we must always know that there is always something better than greatness or great wealth. Matthew 6:26 says, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Most of us, have watched an NBA game once or twice. Well, one of the best players, many people say, have ever played the game, Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven people passed away this Sunday in a helicopter crash. You see, being the best basketball player is not going to mean much to God unless he was right with him, unless he had accepted his son, Jesus Christ, as his personal Savior. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. James speaks of two different people in the scripture that we just read today. He speaks of the rich and he speaks of the poor. Just what is the meaning? First point is humble means high. Verse 9, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. Humble means high. 1 Peter 5 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. If we go down on our knees, God will lift us up. We need to humble ourselves before God and allow him to lift us up. But the problem is, most people don't like to admit that they have made a mistake. Most people don't like to humble themselves, especially to God. We don't like to admit it. We don't like to confess it. We don't like to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And even to God, like God doesn't know. There was a well-dressed woman that came to church, and after the preacher delivered his sermon, the invitation was there. She came up and grasped his hand, and they spoke a few words as a song was being sung. And he was about to deliver a prayer for her to repeat. He said, Dear Lord, I'm a no good sinner. There was silence. She didn't say anything. He looked at her. Don't you want to be saved? Oh, yes. Yes, I want to be saved, preacher. But I'm not a sinner. Then he looked at her and he said, Well, then, you can't be saved. Because you see, Jesus only died for sinners. But preacher, she said, I'm a good sinner. A good sinner? Ma'am, there's no such thing as a good sinner. You're going to have to take your seat. God can't save you unless you become conscious. You have a repentance. You are a no good sinner. And you need his forgiveness. But preacher, I don't understand. I'm really not that bad of a sinner. He told her to go back and sit down. She held on to his hand like a vice grip grip. She finally looked at him, her eyes starting to water. Oh, please forgive me. I know I'm a no good sinner deserving hell. I'm proud. I'm a no good sinner. I do need Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. The preacher said, Wonderful. Now we're ready to do business with God. You see, until a person is willing to humble themselves before God, they can't be saved. They can't be lifted up in any form. This story reminds us of a story in the New Testament in Luke 18. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew 20, verses 26 and 28 reads, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Greatness comes through being a humble servant. We go up by going down on our knees and being humble. We are exalted when we humble ourselves before him. Someone told a story about the famous inventor, Samuel Morse, who was once asked if he ever encountered a situation in which he didn't know what to do. Morse responded, "More than once. And whenever I do not see clearly or what direction to go, I drop to my knees and I pray for God to give me light and understanding." Morse received many honors from his invention of the telegraph, but felt undeserving. He said, "I've made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me." Morse was honored only because he first humbled himself before the Lord. When we are humble ourselves before the Lord, seeking to honor him, we will experience the greatest blessing there is. Pride brings people down. Humility lifts people up. In Proverbs 11:2, it says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." Again, in Proverbs 16, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 29, "A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor." Bringing me to point two, rich means low. Verse 10 and 11, "But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business." Someone once asked Willie Sutton, the notorious bank robber, why did he rob so many banks? His reply was, "That was where the money was." Willie Sutton was born on June 30th, 1901, and he died on November 2nd, 1980. He was a notorious U.S. bank robber. During his 40-year criminal life, he stole an estimated of $2 million. He spent most of his adult life in prison. What's the meaning? Crime doesn't pay, and riches can ruin your life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." People who want to get rich fall into temptation, in a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. And then in 1 Timothy, verses 17 through 19, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life." Andrew Carnegie, the wealthy steel magnate of the past generation, once remarked to a group of men that he was walking around with and rubbing shoulders with, said, "You know, I don't feel the need to pray. What's the use of praying? I've already got everything I want. What more could I ask for?" One of the hearers said, Well, perhaps you could pray for humility. You see, rich means low. Possessing great wealth means nothing. The rich will be brought low, and they will die just like everyone else. Possessing wealth doesn't mean that it keeps a person from aging. Well, what's the idea? You see, we all age, don't we? We all are brought low in death, even the high and the mighty, even the rich folks, even the former NBA All-Stars. Therefore, we need to make preparation for death. And there's only one way that you and I can do that, or anyone else, and that is Jesus' way. Which brings us to point number 3. Perseverance means the crown of life. In verse 12 it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." You see, I have discovered many years ago, my mom and dad had instituted it in me, that there's only one way to do a job, if you start it, and that is to finish it. Perhaps, Sam, that's why I don't start some jobs right away. Because I know that I have to finish it. You see, there's only one way, and that is to finish it. There's a certain amount of glory, I suppose, when you compete in something. But there's a greater joy when you are able to finish. You see, that's true in many things, in life, in our jobs, in sports, in marriage, in raising our kids, and seeking the Lord. Perhaps you can remember a young lady that was named Shannon Faulkner. She made headlines quite a few years ago. She was the first female cadet at the Citadel, an all-male military academy. You see, after a long, prolonged court battle, she finally won the right to enroll. But you see, she could not endure the exercise program that was required of all cadets. So a few days later, she dropped out. And we have heard hardly anything from her since. Many of us perhaps can remember a professional tennis player named Monica Seles. Can you remember when she was playing in the match that there was some crazed guy that jumped out and stabbed her in the back with a knife? And yet, Monica, once the wound healed, she began a vigorous exercise program. She got back in shape and she got back onto the circuit. She won the British Open and she placed second in the U.S. Open. You see, I love to hear stories like that of someone who would not give up, someone who was inspired to finish and to finish strong. To have a commitment when things get tough. You see, when we look around, and there's people here that when things get going tough, they can be an inspiration to us. In Matthew 24, 12 and 13, it says, "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." 1 Timothy, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Hebrews, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Again in Hebrews 11, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead of it for his reward. By faith he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered, because he saw him who was invisible." He persevered. He saw him who was invisible. Do you see him who is invisible? Can you see him through the eyes of your faith? You see, that's the only way that you and I can see him. But we must see him if we are going to persevere to the end. James 5:11, it says, "As you know, we considered blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord's finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Job's perseverance. Yes, he persevered a whole lot more than you and I have gone through. But it, you know, if he can do it, we can do it. For we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll discover that God is full of compassion and that he is rich in mercy if we finish. There's a poem by Martha Nicholson called "Hold Lightly Earthly Things." Let me hold lightly things of this earth, transient treasures. What are they worth? Moths can corrupt them. Rust can decay. All their bright beauty fades in a day. Let me hold lightly temporal things. I who am deathless. I who wear wings. Let me hold fast, Lord, things of the sky. Quicken my vision. Open my eyes. Show me thy riches, glory, and grace. Boundless as time is, endless as space. Let me hold lightly things that are mine. Lord, thou dost give me all that is thine. Let us humble ourselves before the Lord. Means that we will be high. Let us admit that we need God in our lives. Remember that rich means low. We bring nothing into the world. And we will never be able to take what we have gained out of this world. Remember for us to store our riches in heaven. If you look around, those are some of the riches that will be with you in heaven. And look at those that are not here today. Would you pray for them and would you call them, care for them, gain riches in heaven? Allow us to persevere. You see, if we persevere, we will receive the crown of life. For us to do that, we need to know what God's will is. We need to do God's will. And then we will receive what he has promised us. Would you please stand and sing this song of invitation? And I was reminded today in Sunday school that those that are not for me, Jesus says, are against me. And one time someone during the invitation said, "You are making a decision. You are making a decision if you do not come forward. You are deciding not to be with the Lord." That is if you have not come before. What decision will you make today? Contemplate that as you sing.
Say yes, more yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, more yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me,